The Space Case Sarah Show with space nerds Kovi and Benjamin. Who is Space Case Sarah?
Spunky, edgy, smart, funny, and a rebel feminist.
Now, witness it yourself on iRock Space Radio.
Hello, space cadets, and all of you out there on Terra, listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio. You have joined us for the, as Benjamin wrote, but now I have to sing it, chlorine episode, which puts us at element number 17. And chlorine. We have some facts about chlorine, I am sure, aside from, I mean, it's a pretty easy jump right there to go right to some bathroom jokes. I mean, it's pretty much set up easy peasy, well, lemon squeezy, but
I mean, we all know that chlorine is used, you know, bleach products, right? Mm-hmm. I found out that chlorine-based bleach was the solution to this classic problem that we all had in the 1800s, which is we want to make musical instruments from animal intestines, but they smell. Whatever are we going to do? And so the solution that was found by a French chemist was to use a chlorine-based remedy to treat the, I believe, pig intestines in order to make musical strings.
The solution wasn't to not use animal intestines.
No.
What can we add to the intestines to make them sound better?
Well, I mean, and you know that, like, the bow fibers of you know, for violins and stuff like that traditionally was horsehair, so
Yes. Oh gosh, this is I have a friend who's an experimental archaeologist. So his work was basically discovering methods.
Hold up.
Right?
Experimental archaeologist. Okay. All right. Okay. Go.
So he would, his work, and this was so cool. I did an expedition with him once, which is a fancy way for saying, like, we hung out in the desert for a few hours.
Yeah, it's like terrible camping. Yep.
Yeah, understood. Exactly. Yeah. But basically, he would, you know, discover and test different methods for, you know, creating tools and you know, various techniques that were used by civilizations, you know, tens of thousands of years ago.
Shut the front door. Okay.
I know. shut both doors, because this is just, yeah. Yeah. And so just all this talk of you know, manufacturing things from animals, which was something that was, you know, done by our prehistoric ancestors, of course, reminds me of the time that he was flying, in or out of the country, I can't remember where, it doesn't matter, and he had a bunch of, what was it? It was basically an intestine that had been split up into strands that he was using to make bows. Somebody said to him, like, aren't you worried that they're going to stop you at the airport and prevent you from coming into the country with that? Mm-hmm. And he's like, what are they going to accuse me of? Like, trying to arm a small tribe? What, like, what are they actually going to do? And people in security right. Just had no idea. It's like, why do
no
you
no idea
have
what to do. Yeah.
Antlers and bits of deer. Okay, good luck to you.
I'm getting interrupted. This might stay on the show. What?
There's this weird letter.
There's another weird letter that you're trying to
write?
Weird
letter.
Maybe you should find an experimental archaeologist who could explain how the ancients would have done that. I am actually recording the Space Case Sarah Show right now, so I'm going to need you to go downstairs and figure it out, okay?
Recording this Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds, Kobe and Benjamin.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's actually very fair. It's the G.
Oh, you G know? Is the worst.
Yeah, it's a G. So... Well, but you know, it's the like doop 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 doop, like the two circles with the line in the middle that connects it, kind of G that you see in Times New Roman text. So
today's episode of the Space Case Sarah Show is brought to you by the letter G.
By the letter G. Where are the Weimaraitans? All right, Benjamin, what do you have for the chlorine episode today? You have to follow up pig intestines and experimental archaeology. So have fun. His eyes are panicking right now.
Chlorine smells very...
I don't know what to do. Chlorine
has a very pungent odor, and chlorine is used as a very powerful cleaning agent for industrial waste and sewage.
And intestines.
And intestines.
Well, that kind of goes in line with Kavi's need to do poop humor.
So, does anyone know the answer to this? I have heard, and I don't know if it's like a myth, but that the very chloriney smell is not because of the chlorine, but it's because of the reaction of people peeing in the pool.
Yep.
So that's confirmed.
What?
Yeah, if you go to a pool and you think you're smelling that delicious, clean, bleachy smell of chlorine at the public pool, it's because it's so
because
sanitary
people
and clean. It's actually a mix of, oils coming off your skin and lots of pupae and other little contaminants that mix with the chlorine and other thing in the pool. And it kind of has this kind of wafty smell. It's not a horrible smell, but it's a smell that comes from interacting with people.
And so was that the smell that was used in chemical warfare in World War One? Like, it wasn't just chlorine, it was chlorine taken from a pool.
No, that was just chlorine.
The pigeons
gas.
Photographed from their cameras as doing surveillance.
When they released chlorine gas in World War One.
I shouldn't have told you about the pigeons. Why did I have to mention the pigeons?
That's fantastic. Okay. This is the chlorine episode. I honestly I kind of do wonder what it's like to be on the receiving end of this show because we're so ridiculous.
Shocking. It would have to be
we
shocking.
Do actually know and love so much about space, and that is what we're going to talk about in this episode. We just got derailed by chlorine. So we're gonna bring it back. I'm gonna bring us back to the chlorine episode, and for as similarly very disjointed, weird train of thoughts, we conjured together this idea that chlorine somehow was going to get connected to constellations. I don't really remember exactly how that all progressed, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about constellations and kind of astronomy related stuff and the folklore, the stories that we have connected to
the
constellations.
Culture.
Yeah, culture. Thank you. Archaeological, simulations, or I don't know. friendly reminder that you can follow all of us on social media. I'm Space K Sarah, and we have Kavi of Fun Fact Science and Benjamin of Science Actually Science, depending on your platform. And you can also go to irockspaceradio.com, where we have now episodes up on the website for you to listen to old episodes that have previously played. There is a small, albeit merchandise shop, but you can buy hats, and I'm hoping they'll put more things on there. You still can sign up for the Crew Club and get a free t-shirt, so do that before that goes away. And and we have lots of other shows that you can listen to and check out, so make sure you head over to the station. All right, constellations, space. Space is a beautiful thing. You know, it's one of those things that I think that there's something so universal about looking up at the night sky and feeling that smallness. And it's sort of the original nighttime entertainment, if you will, that has really connected cultures. And I think that's something that we brainstormed about before we started recording, is that how interesting it is that there are certain themes and certain commonalities throughout time that have been noted in the night sky and stories. And the one that I know just well off the top of my head, and we've talked about on the show, is the Seven Sisters, the story of, that the, those seven stars are usually like women related to each other, or like, and there's a couple of different variations of the story of these seven women being pursued by a god or a bear or something like that. And do you guys know of any other constellations that have kind of similar themes like that? Because that's the one I really remember sticking out as like, huh, that's interesting that it kind of carries throughout different cultures.
The Big Dipper, in a few cultures, were looked at as a wagon. In German culture, they thought it was a wagon. In Chinese culture, they thought it was much more, kind of like a wagon, but like a fancier, like a processional type thing where you get like a noble person. He would ride through town on that. And I believe in Russian culture, the Big Dipper is part of a giant bear or some major. But also, the Big Dipper itself, even though it was part of the bear, it was also on its own, not looked at as a dipper, but also as a wheeled kind of a cart. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that's kind of interesting. But then again, they're all connected on this one big, massive piece of land from Germany to Russia to China. But... it's interesting that there's that one similarity that's gone through.
I think just hopping back to the Pleiades, to the seven sisters for a moment, I find it interesting that almost all of the cultures that have a story associated with them as a group of women, they're almost always being chased by, as you said, like a man, a hunter, and that's almost always Orion. Orion is the hunter that's chasing one or all of the seven sisters in all these different stories.
It's interesting to me. That one is even a little bit more like interesting that's the commonality, whereas when you're saying the Big Dipper and like a wagon or something like that is the common thread, I would sort of think that not only geographically, maybe that is the connecting thought train, is that someone heard that story and then it spread across that kind of area. But it also is, I think, reflective probably of the time and the technology. When you think of how history lined up and how, you know, we still use the Greek assignments of constellations here in our Western culture. But there's, you know, obviously a time where there's a dip in education and knowledge amongst the common lay people, the common people. And so I could see how there would be this new time era where they didn't know the Greek names. And so they saw something that they related to in their time that was the technology that, you know, kind of like, oh, that looks like a wagon, you know, and it probably... Maybe there's a connection there. That is a massive speculation, but but they wouldn't have known the Greek names for the constellations, so they would have found things that were applicable to them, which makes sense. Go ahead, Kavi.
I think something that was interesting that we were discussing the other day in the astronomy department was this idea of when you find these similarities across the astronomy department. Yeah. a bunch of nerds sitting around the table. But yeah, my fellow nerds and I were discussing similarities between Chinese astronomy and indigenous astronomy in like different Aboriginal cultures, because there are multiple different First Nations in Australia that all have slightly different kind of cultural stories relating to the sky, and then it's called songlines, which is songlines has nothing to do with you know the traditional way that you and I might be thinking about songs and everybody being obsessed with their Spotify rap these days. It's basically a connection between the sky and the country, the sky and the land, and it will often be associated with, you know, useful agricultural or practical knowledge as well.
Sure.
But what's interesting is that in a lot of cases you would see these common stories that would connect different indigenous groups to a common root. And I think even, you know, more interestingly than that, how wild it is to think about a common story that would link, let's say, the Wiradjuri people in southeastern Australia to, you know, Greek astronomy, which would somehow have to link back to a common ancestor, let's say, in Africa.
Yeah.
And just thinking that, to have a story, because, you know, Indigenous Australian astronomy traces its roots back like 60,000 years.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a time capsule of what astronomy might have looked like, you know, predating right. the Greeks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible.
That's awesome.
We're going to take a break. And I like this. I like where this conversation is going, though, because I that connecting thread of the things that are in the night sky that, you know, no matter where you are on planet Earth, certain things happen around the world. I have a thought process to this. We're going to take a break and I will continue it. I want to do this, like, let's pretend we just stop and keep recording, but like, I need to stop. I need to take a break. So let's stop. And when we return, we'll talk more about constellations and culture and how it has impacted the history of humanity. And I to me, it's like probably one of the coolest conversations. I honestly think that it's something that is so deeply rooted in, I don't know, the psyche of who we are as humans. So anyway, you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the Space Nerds. And that's an understatement. Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.